92.3.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, day 10 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Every Monday at this time, we like to connect with Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. The only story that I really had on my list of things that has been going on in Santa Rosa County is these tractor thefts. I guess it was it two tractors that were stolen, is that right?
Yeah, and it's a lot more than that. A ring that we've been investigating for a while that's gone pretty much all over the Southeast. And now the FBI's gotten involved because it's multi-state jurisdictions. But, our property detectives first caught it. They jumped on it and have been tracking people ever since. So hopefully we're going to put the kibosh on it here pretty quick.
Okay, so just as a logistics problem, I mean, are these Bobcat size or – like tractor size?
They're absolutely every size you can imagine, from a riding lawnmower down to a full-size tractor you'll see on a farm.
Okay.
They're pretty much taking everything that I would say wasn't tied down, but a lot of these were tied down. They still took them. So, they're pretty prolific. But like I said, we've got a pretty good hand.
Now, is this connected at all with, I remember we had the guy who had gotten charged with, you know, reselling stolen equipment that had come in from all kinds of places. And I think at that time you were the one that said that what thieves will sometimes do is they'll just pull up to a tractor lot, like a, you know, farm fleet or something like that. And they'll, because people will demonstrate something is on the tractor or is on the trailer bed, they'll just hook up the trailer bed and drive away with it. I mean, is this all connected? Are these separate incidents, separate cases?
Yeah, and that's basically what was happening. But these guys are a little different, but I think there probably is a nexus between the two. We haven't established it yet, but okay. I believe there's going to be a nexus between them.
So what do you want people to do? Is there anything for people to do to be helpful? Anything? I'm sure you've contacted all of the major retailers to give them advice and work with them, but anything for people to do?
The main thing is just secure your stuff as best as possible. As I said, a lot of these were secured and they still took them. There's something you just can't do or can't prevent. Other than I would say this, if you have a lot of equipment in your yard or anything like that, make sure you have a camera system because that helps us a lot. And once I'm seeing, you know, they show us a video and we got a car to look for now and or a truck to look for, and it helps us a bunch. So I would say that much, at least if you're going to have a video system over your yard or your parking lot or whatever, it helps us a lot.
Very good. A couple of bills that the governor has signed dealing with law enforcement. The most recent one last week, he signed the Keep Your Distance bill. That's the 25 feet once people have been warned that they cannot interfere with a law enforcement officer. When I first saw this bill, it seemed like kind of a long distance to me, because what I was thinking about is situations where you might want to, you know, film a law enforcement officer, which of course is perfectly legal. Sure. And some of the more infamous videos have been kind of relatively close, but there's a counterbalancing factor of safety and wanting to not be harassed by the public when you're doing your job of saving somebody's life or investigating a crime, right?
Yeah. And you know, the problem you have with these First Amendment auditors, we call them, they do want to get close because they do want to provoke and they do get arrested, sue and leave. Paycheck, but there is a fine line between, you know, you and then in the way of the law.
We are. I'm so sorry, Sheriff. The phone is really breaking up bad. We're having some weird issues on our FM signals too today. So I know the atmosphere is just not cooperating with us a lot today. But yeah. What I thought I heard you saying is that the sort of the First Amendment activists want to get in there and almost provoke something by being close. Is that what you were saying?
They want to, you know, basically a lot of them won't take that. So they want to get arrested and they want to sue the sheriff's office or department or whatever if we can, you know, hopefully get a paycheck. But, you know, there's a fine line between your First Amendment rights and interfering with law enforcement officer or another first responder. And you really, you know, at some point, you know, you can cost an officer his life if you have to focus on you and there's a guy in the car or whatever he's dealing with that's got a gun and, you know, he's not paying attention to him because he's having to pay attention to some idiot that's gotten close with a camera. So I think it's a great law. You still can film, you know, if you're across the parking lot or, you know, a few spaces away, it's perfectly legal. Film all you want because all my guys and gals have body cameras anyway. So if you ever see them doing anything wrong, you're allowed to request it's a public record.
Right.
And report it to us. And we look at body cam films all the time. And a lot of times it exonerates officers, but there's been a few where we've had to exact some punishment on them as well. So I think it's a healthy balance. But when it comes to First Amendment rights, yeah, I love the First Amendment, but just don't get too close.
And I think, I mean, I don't want to speak for you. You can tell me if I've got this wrong, but generally speaking, law enforcement officers love video. I mean, the more evidence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's never been a law enforcement officer that said, no, what we really, except a bad one, is, you know, what we really want is less evidence. So even citizen videos can be very helpful in understanding crimes, right?
Oh, yeah. And going back to the cameras around your house or your parking lot or whatever, I cannot even begin to tell you how many cases we've solved because people video or their videos off home camera system. And one of the great examples is when one of our sergeants got into a fight over in Bridge, had to shoot and kill a guy in the parking lot or in the driveway of a home. One thing led to another. We found some home video from a security system, and it went right down exactly what the officer said happened. You know, he pulled his taser, got knocked out of his hand, the fight was on, and I took the taser and the deputy killed him. So, you know, it comes in handy, and we love video. And like you said, the only ones that really don't like it are the dirty ones, and we want to get rid of them anyways.
Absolutely. Sheriff, and again, just to, like, I really want to nail this down because I think a lot of times people misunderstand this. You know, the more evidence is good, more video is good. And frankly, if even if it's not like a got to get rid of him kind of problem with the deputy, if there's an opportunity where somebody thinks that a deputy has done something inappropriate, you want to be able to address that and have the evidence to address that with the deputy, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we fixed a lot of issues that way. And we've had people who didn't even film, but they call in and say, hey, he was rude to me or she was rude to me on the traffic stop. And the stop, I mean, we pull the video up and we're like, holy moly. Yeah, and we have to do some retraining sometimes. And you know, 99.9% of our officers are fantastic at what they do, but you know, every once in a while you get one that, you know, needs some discipline, unfortunately, and it happens.
Yeah, I mean, guidance and discipline, that's the idea. That's how you get better, and that's how you keep your organization running well. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about this Porch Pirate Organized Retail Theft Bill that the governor signed.
Yeah.
I hate to say we need it, but do we need the retail theft one in Santa Rosa County? I would assume the Porch Pirate one is definitely useful.
Yeah, we need both of them in Santa Rosa County because basically what happens is this: you have these traveling bands, and they go all over the Southeast. I mean, we've caught people here from Atlanta, New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi. It doesn't matter. They come all over the state of Florida, and they'll come in like sets of 5, 6, sometimes 10, 15, and they will come, and they'll come through Santa Rosa County, hit all the stores on 98 or all the stores on 90, and then they'll go to Okaloosa, and then they'll go to Walton, and they'll make their way all the way down to Miami.
Wow.
And this is what they do for a living, and we have broken up a few of the rings, but, I mean, they're not, they're never ending. I mean, as soon as you break up one, you've got 5 or 6 more.
Wow. So, I didn't realize that, you know, it was that pervasive, but wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And then the last thing is that you guys participated in the Glow Run, right? A organization that you support, the Emerald Coast. What special needs is that the organization?
Yeah, Emerald Coast Exceptional Families, and it supports special needs families, and it's a great organization. They had a 5K Glow Run at Navarro High School Friday night, and we went out there, and it was a great time had by all, and there was a lot of participants. We raised some money for that 501c3. And it's always good when you can help the members of your community that need help the most, and that's the special needs families. And we, you know, Hurlburt Field is the largest special needs base in the military, and it's, you know, it's like 8 miles into Okaloosa County. So a lot of those families live in Navarre, and we support them. And they have doubly hard because if you're a military member traveling all over the world and you have a special needs kid, it's pretty difficult. So we love supporting them and supporting their cause.
Very good. Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Andrew.